I had Sean Connery for Medicine Man before I did that. I got Ewan McGregor ready for a couple things, and mostly rockers ready for tour. I mean, my first was Tom Petty, got him ready for a tour back in the day, and I had him for 4 months, and I mean, massive transformation. The guy, I mean, he never lifted a weight, he never did anything, never hit a heavy bag. He was cutting off his sleeves with his shirts and wearing vests without shirts when I got that.
Welcome to another episode of Success for the Athletic-Minded Man. Real talk on harnessing your athletic drive for clarity, consistency, and focus in business and life. This is your host, Jim Harshaw Jr., and today I bring you the Tony Horton. Tony Horton is the creator of the P90X fitness program, which did over almost $1.5 billion in sales. When it at the peak of its popularity, now he has a new program, PowerNationFitness.org, which he goes on and talks about. He has trained and currently trains some of these guys like Ewan McGregor, Billy Idol, Bruce Springsteen, Sean Connery, Tom Petty, on and on. He just fires off all these celebrities that he's worked with. And you get direct access to him today. And you get to hear all of this wisdom he drops about men and, you know, middle-aged and later, what we should be thinking about in terms of our fitness, in terms of our nutrition. This conversation definitely changed the way I'm going to approach my nutrition and my fitness moving forward. I'm a guy who I'm pretty dialed in on my nutrition. I'm pretty dialed in on my fitness. This is changing things for me. I'm definitely going to make some changes because of the conversation that I just had and that you're about to hear with Tony Horton. So share this with a friend. This guy is one of the best on earth for what he does, and hide the world-class performers. Seek him out for the advice that you're about to get. So here we go. My interview, actually second interview. I had him on back in 2017. Here it is, my second interview with Tony Horton. Tony, welcome back to the show.
Jim, it's about time. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. It's good to see you again. It's been a few years. I follow you on Instagram, so I watch all the good things that you're doing. And I remember when I saw that you hit 60 years old and you posted like, this is what 60 can look like. And man, you're 67. Like, how do you do it? Like, I see you doing stuff. I see your workouts and I see you doing stuff. And I'm like, man, I don't think I can do that. You know, like, what's your secret?
Well, you know, I mean, it's consistency, especially between 50 and 100, you know, which is where I am. I'm in between those numbers. And I'm always kind of finding the edge of the envelope when I feel like I've done all my rest and recovery behaviors, you know, like the, when the stars line up that way, you know, like today, for example, perfect example, chest and back. And, you know, I mean, I've learned a little bit about the difference between a pain threshold and pain tolerance and where the magic is in between those two, you know, avoiding trying to go to max every time on everything, like lifting max weight and doing max reps. And I'll have my max reps day on Sundays when I do my ninja 4-hour ninja extravaganza. I think for me, and this would be true for anybody that wanted to go down this rabbit hole with me, is how consistent can you be? Are you willing to do exercises that are way outside of your comfort zone that have a huge learning curve, and keeping your expectations down a little bit and just enjoying that journey of learning, like learning about animal flow and learning about, you know, advanced yoga things and learning about what's, you know, important when it comes to longevity. I mean, obviously balance and flexibility, range of motion are come under those categories. Are you doing those type of exercises as opposed to going to the gym, lifting weights and getting on the bike? You know what I mean? Which is the stuff I was doing in the 70s and 80s and 90s. And when I travel and I go to the gym, I just see the same weightlifters and the same cardio people, which is better than staying at home and smoking cigarettes and, you know, eating double cheese chimichangas. If you want to be 67, 68, 70, 75, whatever, 80, then you've got to get uncomfortable a lot, but you have to do it safely. And then, of course, the mindfulness recovery rest piece, you know, the cold plunges, the infrared saunas, the foam rolling, the naps, the meditation, the breath work, the downtime, the just hanging out, listening to music, dealing with your stress in a myriad of ways, whatever that is for you. You know, I have a rest and recovery list and I have a mindfulness list, and there's a lot of them that are sort of, they cover both categories. And I try to do those often where I never even thought about that before when I was in my 20s, 30s, and 40s. I just trained hard and got hurt on occasion and then worked another body part that wasn't broken. And then I would get a crappy sleep. And that was my pattern.
So if you were to go back and talk to yourself back then, what would you tell yourself? I mean, was that fine back then?
Well, I would say, you know, do your breath work, do your meditation, get in your cold plunge, foam roll more, you know, because I never used to at all. stretch more. I mean, if you look at P90X, still to this day, I mean, I was in Jackson Hole recently, and the cop that pulled me over for speeding let me go because he was a P90X guy.
Did you drop that? Did you say, I'm like the Tony Horton, or?
No, he knew. Like, yeah, I rolled the window down. I was like, hey, and I went, hey, and we went, hey, you want to go skiing later? And he goes, sure. And so, yeah, I was going 45 into 30. It wasn't like I was going 90 and a 60. And he was a really good guy. He's, Jackson Hole cop. But, anywhere and everywhere, I run into these people. And they love it because of the warm-ups and the cool-downs, which a lot of companies are getting away from. Their warm-ups are 30 seconds and their cool-downs don't exist or whatever, or some variation of that. And that's where, that's where I think began to scrape the surface of learning how important it is to allow the body to be less vulnerable and more durable as you're trying to push the envelope a little bit. Animal flow. I didn't do animal flow with P90X, and now I do, and I'm terrible at it, and I love it because I'm terrible at it. Same thing with yoga. I put yoga in P90X because, it was a year and a half of that when I realized down dog is killing me. That can't be good. I should probably get better at this thing. And then I just fell in love with it, and I do it every week. I never miss it. I do my little 10-minute versions, blah, blah, blah. I do my salutations when I need them instead of a cup of coffee. I mean, why not the human body and oxygen? It seems like a better choice to me. And it doesn't take much time, and I can do it in my underwear. You know what I mean? Like, whatever.
Tony, I got like 10 questions based on the last 3 minutes of what you shared.
Dude, go! Rock and roll. What do you need?
Okay. So first, animal flow. What's animal flow?
It's capoeira meets yoga meets martial arts. Michael Bradley, who's on my platform on Power Nation, he's the guy that introduced me to animal flow. And so there are different, just like with yoga, there's vinyasa and buddhakanasana and warrior one and warrior two, and all these things you have to kind of learn about, when you go through a vinyasa flow, like a hatha flow, right? And if you don't know those things, you don't want to learn about those things, or you just want to lift weights and do cardio, then you're missing out on a critical piece for the quality of your life as you get older, right? Animal flow is like that because it puts you in these positions from one to the next to the next that you just don't ever see anywhere. You're in crab, you're in beast, you're in bear, you're in frogger, you're in predator, you're doing donkey kicks, you're doing, there's your bear pose is, for example, I'm in a position where my hands and knees would be on the ground, but my knees are off the ground. So there's automatic core tension there. And then I flip over into crab to bear, and then into frogger, and then into gorilla. And then you're just on the floor scrambling around like you would a wrestler, like a wrestler's are kind of doing a lot of animal flow without even knowing they're doing it. You know what I mean? You don't have some guy, trying to pin you. It's awesome because there's a strength component. There's a flexibility component. There's a balance component. There is a range of motion component. It's just you and the earth, kind of like yoga is. And anybody who gets really good at it and goes through the process. We have three programs on Power Nation that have animal flow, all brought to you by Michael Bradley, who is our second to the top trainer on the program.
All right. So we can learn more about animal flow. We can go to powernationfitness.org, check out some of the programs there.
You can go out, .org, and you get in there and play for 2 weeks for free. And then you can look at everything and make a decision what you do. Yeah.
Awesome. So we can go out and check on animal. It's animal flow. Quick interruption. Hey, if you like what you're hearing, be sure to get the notes, quotes, and links in the action plan from this episode. Just go to jimharshawjr.com/action. That's jimharshawjr.com/action to get your free copy of the action plan. Now back to the show. You mentioned pushing past your comfort zone, right? And for most guys, they're hearing that and going, okay, that means running a marathon, throwing another 45 plate on the bar.
It could be those things. Yeah. And you've got like high school athletes. And as you get older, you have to make decisions on what you want to keep and what you want to get rid of when it comes to your movements so that you're not broken along the way too often. Right.
Yeah. And so you're talking about a different type of pushing the boundaries, a different type of getting out of your comfort zone. Maybe it's putting on less weight, but you're talking about trying different things, doing things differently as you age, because your body has different needs and capabilities as you age.
Yeah. Yeah. Animal flow would be one. Hill sprints. I started doing hill sprints a year ago. I read an article in the New York Times that 80% of Americans over the age of 30 in general, I don't know where to get these stats. but that's what they said. We'll never run fast again. And I thought, I don't run fast. I jog. I'll go for a 4 to 6 mile jog, you know, basically 10 minute miles, nothing extraordinary. And there's hills and dales. It's out in the woods, you know what I mean? So there's a little bit of up, a little bit of down. And I thought that was okay. And it is okay, you know. But I mean, hill sprints is high intensity training. And when I first started doing it, I pulled both hamstrings, I think 3 times each in the first couple, several months. Cause you know, my body and my athleticism said go, but my hamstrings, cause I have huge developed quads, from great for skiing, great for plyo, but my hamstrings were like, I cut some dental floss back there from my knees to my butt, you know? So it took me a long time getting prepping longer, which is really fun because I have a hill in Jackson Hole when we live there. There's about 210 yards. And the one here in front of my house here is about 130 yards, both uphill. The Jackson Hill is steeper and it's at altitude. It's 6,300 feet. So that's a whole different ball of wax, you know? And when I do both, you know, and I do these hill sprints about every 3 days because I knew my body needs to recover from that sort of thing. I'm faster now than I have been in 20, 25, 30 years. Yeah.
You do this for how long?
I do 12 of them. I'll do anywhere from 8 to 12 of them. If I'm doing plyo before, then I'll do 6. If I'm doing cardio, which is zone 2, you know, just going through, you know, reverse a climber, bike, rower, ski machine, heavy bag, I do 9 stations for about 45 minutes. And then I'll go do 8 hill sprints. And then sometimes if it's just hill sprints, that's all I'll do. I'll do 12, sometimes 16. And so it's fun. It's fun. And I'll take a stopwatch with me. And the minute I take off, wah, 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 wah. And I'm at that point right now, which is exciting for this 67-year-old, is that my hamstrings are holding up finally because I've trained them to get better. And there were several times where I thought, I can't, you know, when there goes one, there goes another one. I go, maybe I'm just not cut out for this. And so a lot of people find themselves in those situations where they are pushing the envelope in something and they get injured and they go, that's it. I'm too old. I got to go back to, you know, water aerobics. When in reality, you know, are you willing to do, and there's a lot to learn here. I mean, there's a lot to know, a lot to learn, a lot to practice. And it's not just the fitness part, but it's the diet part. It's the supplementation part. It's the rest and recovery and mindfulness part. And those are the things, as you get, when you're younger, you can eat, you know, Dodger dogs and Dr. Peppers and push the envelope and never get hurt and look like, you know, an Adonis. And that ain't the case anymore. There's a whole bunch of things that you have to kind of be willing to learn so that you can continue to push the envelope and run as fast. And I can ski from the top of Jackson Hole to the bottom now. I couldn't do that 10 years ago. I mean, you know, I'm not racing down the mountain, but I'm not stopping. And that's for 4,000 vert. Get on the tram. Which is fun. You know, it's fun. I mean, I don't know what it's going to be like when I'm 90, but it's pretty damn good now.
Yeah. So here's the other thing that a lot of my clients and guys my age struggle with is busy, you know, kids, job, pulled in a million different directions. And some guys say, I don't have time to work out. And there's this challenge between, first of all, it's a matter of priority. But also, you mentioned like 10 minute yoga session versus like, I can't do like the 60 to 90 minute workout. So therefore I feel like I just don't have time to work out today. I'm not going to do anything, as opposed to like, well, no, you like, what is the value of a shorter 10 minute, 20 minute workout?
Anything and everything is always better than nothing. I mean, what do you get when you just do nothing? You get, what are the first two letters of nothing? No, right? So you've already made a decision before you even started, right? And you didn't prioritize. You didn't put it in the calendar. Put it in the damn calendar, you know, get up 10 minutes earlier or go to bed half an hour earlier. Or, you know, it's just, I mean, I wish I could tell you that there was some other way, some kind of magical hack. Hacks are for hacks. That's why they call them hacks. You know what I mean? It's hard work. It's discipline. It's willpower. It's the company that you keep. It's scheduling. It's prioritizing. You know what I mean? You need a diametric shift in your mindset about how important this is to you. And I believe that. You know, I believe that. I mean, your life becomes more diminished as you get older if you don't do something about it. And if you're okay with that, you, like my friend, kind of a new friend, he's just a great guy. He came to one of my events with his wife, Marco Massimo Russo. If that ain't Italian, I don't know what that is.
That's a great name.
That's an Italian boy. And his mother's like, you know, his mother just came off the boat. Like he's that generation one up from me. I mean, my grandparents came over here, and my parents were Americanized, and so was I. But he's that second generation from Italy. And his mother had a stroke, and she's overweight, and she needs special care. And he blew up like a tick. I mean, he was in great shape with P90X. And then, you know, life happens, and then he came to the event because he and his wife are both way overweight. And so now he's at my house two or three or four times a week instead of just watching me on the TV or on his laptop or something. And he's a perfect example of somebody who has reached the mountaintop, fell way the hell off, and is now making his way up to the mountaintop again. But he's 20 years older than he was then. So all his buddies are going, hey, man, what are you doing? Why are you wasting your time? You know, we're too old for this. You're not growing old gracefully. He's telling his buddy, this one buddy in particular, you can't do anything. You're like, you have no activity. All you do is you survive by based on how much your favorite foods and your favorite restaurants. He goes, I don't want to be that guy anymore. I want to ski and I want to run and I want to play basketball. And I can do those things again because I've been hanging out with Horton for the last 6 months.
Well, the company you keep. Yeah. Like you said, we call this the environment of excellence.
Your tribe is everything. You know, if you're hanging around badasses that have scheduled workouts and are doing all the time and they're really consistent and these are your pals and they're really supportive and you're supportive of them, then the, I don't have time goes away. It should.
Yeah, the example I use, I got to train at the Olympic Training Center a few times. And every time I went out there and trained with world-class athletes, like the bar just goes up, the standard goes up, the excellence is just in the air. It's just how people operate. And it's the same with us in our lives now, whether you're in your 30s, 40s, 50s, 70s, it doesn't matter. The company that you keep will influence you. And if the people that you're spending your time around are doing the things that don't align with kind of how you want your life to go and how you want to feel and live, then you need to change the company you keep. You need to be intentional about that. And I think a lot of people miss that, right? They just take that for granted. They're not really intentional about that. But when you change that, it changes your life. And what we're talking about right now is health and fitness. And this is like, you know, like the saying goes, when you have your health, you have 1,000 problems. When you don't have your health, you have one problem. And this is about having your health so you can do the things that you want to do. And so, Tony, you talked about rest and recovery, and you talked about mindfulness. How important are those things? How important are those parts for guys who are, you know, 30s, 40s, 50s, middle of their career, busy? Like, how important is it for rest and recovery and mindfulness in terms of their overall health and well-being? And why? I mean, we kind of hear those things and, you know, you see that on social media, people telling you, like, but why? Like, what should you do? What can you do and why?
Well, look, you know, the one thing that I'll say, Jim, is that one size does not fit all. You know, not everybody needs everything, but a lot of people, you know, especially if you're kind of first starting out, you know, that might seem a little bit overwhelming for folks. You mean I got to work out for half an hour, 45 minutes, and now you want me to spend that amount of time to kind of heal from the workouts that I've been doing? If you're in your teens or 20s or 30s and you're an athlete and you've got a coach and you've got the best nutritionist in the world, an endocrinologist and all that kind of thing, which is not most of us, then maybe you don't need as much. You know, anytime a football player is done with a game, they're in the ice tub and they're in the, you know, jacuzzi, they're getting massage and whatnot. But, you know, as individuals, it really depends on kind of what your genetics are. And some people's genetics set them up so they don't need as much rest and recovery behavior and mindfulness behavior. It's just good old fashioned DNA, you know. Others that are not terribly athletic and have a low pain threshold and have a much longer learning curve and don't have an athletic bone in their body, I recommend that you figure out the rest and recovery behaviors that you can do, whether they're 10 minutes or a half hour or wherever you can fit them in. Because, you know, the number one rest and recovery behavior is sleep. And if there isn't enough things out there to help improve between the sheets and the mattresses and the pillow guy and, you know, breathing apparatus. I mean, I go to bed every night with a Breathe Right and mouth tape. And my wife goes to bed every night with an eye mask and earplugs.
Sometimes I do all four of those. Sometimes I get the eye mask, the earplugs, the mouth tape and the nose. My wife took a picture of me once and she's like, this is what I wake up to in the morning.
Yeah, that's so sexy, bro. Yeah, between what I do and what she does, like once we say goodnight, there's no extra action. It's just not happening. So, you know, you better get all that figured out before you put all that stuff on. And so the short answer is, you know, don't go buy the cold plunge and get on the foam roller and get them. And don't do all those things if you don't really need all those things. You know how you feel when you get up in the morning. You know how you feel when you go to bed at night. And you know whether you have the energy and enthusiasm to do the workouts that you need to do without getting hurt. And if that's happening, you'll need less of it. If it feels like you're broken all the time, you're going to need more of it. And so you just have to do your own personal work in regards to figuring out what things work for you. Cold plunges, super popular. I hate them. I've had two. And then they were outside and then the mosquitoes got in there and then I just gave them both away. But I have a pool that I don't heat. And it's chilly at times, especially late at night. And I'll get in my pool. And that's it. And I walk around. I'll do some underwater laps, blah, blah, blah. And I feel great. Epsom salt baths. Fill it with water. Put some magnesium salts. Put some Epsom salts. And get in for half an hour. Turn off the lights and play some music. Put on some Sade. It's helping you heal. It's beautiful. It's amazing. So that's it. I love the Epsom salt baths. I take it also, you know, when I don't have access to a tub and I'm somewhere, I just take cold showers. You know what I mean? I'll just, at the end of my shower, 1,000, 2,000, 1,000, you know, I'll count to 50, front, back, top. And that gets me going, helps the healing too. So, yeah, I mean, there's so many. Listening to music, petting your dog, gardening, going for walks, reading books, being kind to others, being, you know, selfless and altruistic is an incredible mindfulness practice. A lot of people are selfish these days, and that means they're probably more stressed out than they even know. And, you know, I saw a video the other day. Some guy in England had a big truck filled with flowers. And whenever on the sidewalk, hello, aren't you beautiful today? A woman in her little walker. Oh, thank you. What's your name, young man? I just want to let you know that you're beautiful, and I gave you these flowers. And it's just, every man in America should be buying a couple dozen bouquets of flowers and walking around their neighborhood and handing them to senior citizens. It just would be, that's a top mindfulness practice right there.
Yeah, being a good human being. It does a lot for the psyche.
And also, too, last but not least, the joy, happiness, and laughter meter. Where is your joy, happiness, and laughter meter every day? If you haven't laughed in like a week and a half, then there's something up. Either A, you don't have a sense of humor, or B, you're hanging around the wrong kind of people, or C, you're focusing on all the wrong things, you know? And so I'm always checking in. Oh, yeah. And I like making people laugh. That's kind of, I mean, P90X worked because we were goofy and silly. But I also hang around. Like I have comedians and actors and directors. They're my workout partners because they're fun and they're creative and they're good company. And I love that joy, happiness, and laughter thing is really, really important.
Tell me about working with celebrities. What's it like to work out with some? I don't know if you can share any names or not.
I can give you about 18% of what it's like. It depends on the celebrity.
Have you ever trained anybody for like a movie? They had to like get fit, get ripped, anything like that?
I had Sean Connery for Medicine Man before he did that. Submarines don't react well to bullets. There's my Sean Connery. I got Ewan McGregor ready for a couple of things, Obi-Wan series and a couple of the films. And mostly rockers ready for tour. I mean, my first was Tom Petty, got him ready for a tour back in the day. And I had him for 4 months and, I mean, massive transformation. The guy, I mean, he never lifted a weight. He never did anything, never hit a heavy bag. And, you know, he was cutting off his sleeves of his shirts and wearing vests without shirts when I got done with him. And his voice was great. And the band was like, oh, my God, he wants to play another song. Damn it. And they're all blaming me because he had so much energy.
What do you do to train a Tom Petty? He's playing guitar and singing. Like, I'm dumbing it down. Like, he's on stage day after day, night after night for long sets. But like,
when I met Tom, I was training a friend of his, and that friend told Tom about me. And so Tom calls my house, and my roommate hangs up because he thinks it's the guys downstairs screwing around. Tom Petty's calling. Come on, dude, hang up. So then Tom called back. Hey, we got disconnected. That sounds like Petty, bro. Give me the phone. Anyway, I went to his house the next day. He was smoking a cigarette. Hey, I'm Tony. Tom, nice to meet you. I'm fat. I'm fat for me, and I'm going on tour. Nobody likes a fat rocker, and I'm always tired. So, you know, we had to get rid of fat, and we had to get rid of tired. And that's what we did. That's what I did. And he had one of the best tours ever. I mean, it's, you know, we're talking energy on stage, appearance on stage. I mean, literally, he would cut the sleeves off his shirts so everybody could see his, because he was an ectomorph. I mean, he's a skinny cat, right? So the veins popped almost right away. The vascularity popped right away. And everybody was like, what had happened? So then Billy Idol called me, right, mate, bloody hell, fantastic. What'd you do to Petty, mate? Can you do that for me? So I did.
Who was that?
Billy Idol. And Billy.
Billy Idol. Ah, no way.
Yeah. I mean, on Monday, Wednesday, Fridays, when everybody was in town, I had two Fox producers at the 5 o'clock, and then I had the next one. Then I'd go to Billy's house. And then I go to Tom's house. And then I go to Annie Lennox's house. And then I go to Stephen Stills' house. And if Bruce was in town, I'd either train him or Patty. And then, you know, then I had Bryce Dallas Howard, and I had Allison Janney, and I had Octavia Spencer, and I had Joey Fatone, and I had Jason Sheff from Chicago. And yeah, so, you know, it was a crazy time. But I can't write. Like the Billy Idol stories and the Stephen Stills stories are just, they're just like the naked girl that showed up at the door and went up to Billy's house. Like Billy said, glance at the door. You know, somebody that he had met that night. On a show. Are you the trainer? Naked. You know what I mean? Like, yes. Would you like to come in? Yes, I would. So we go inside. We're talking about Pilates in the kitchen while she's naked. It was just crazy, man. Or Stephen Stills knocking on the door. I used to have to go in his room and wake him up. You know what I mean? Or he'd show up at the door with a lamb shank like Fred Flintstone. Like, Stephen, what are you doing? I need sustenance. No, you don't. You don't need that before the workout. Yeah, you know, and the story, like training Bruce Springsteen was, yeah, I only trained him a handful of times. I mean, he is everything you ever wanted him to be. He's just an amazing, amazing human being. He's just a talented, down-to-earth, cool, dedicated, strong. But I introduced him to getting on the treadmill more often. I introduced a heart monitor to him. They get it. You know what I mean? They're focused. They're all in.
So a question about all those individuals who you just mentioned, right? Their craft is something very different than health and fitness. What I'm trying to get to here is for the listener who their craft is something, it might be accounting, it might be teaching, it might be running a business. It's something different than health and fitness. But you have world-class performers who are trying to be the best at what they do, and they're investing in health and fitness, in something different that is going to impact how they perform. And I don't care if you're a performer on stage or you're a performer in your business, your company, your office, it's the same thing. And so these are people who think about, okay, excellence means not just mastering my craft, but mastering all of the ancillary types of things that are going to help me be great. That's a different level of thinking than the average person walking around the world that is not world-class or striving to be the best at what they do.
Well, Jim, there's two things that happen when you move physically, when oxygen's going in and carbon dioxide's going out, right? You get that also with breath work, right? Which is like, you don't even have to move your ass. You can sit in the car and do it. You can sit in the John, do it. You can sit at the desk and do it. You can sit anywhere. Like those big inhalations with those breath holes and out. And it doesn't happen to the same degree because you're not activating muscles and tendons and ligaments and everything else. But number one is what happens because you're releasing norepinephrine, dopamine, serotonin, brain-derived neurotrophic factor, aka BDNF. So inside the temporal lobe, inside the hippocampus, a little thing called dentate gyrus. Anybody who's ever seen me do a podcast, this comes up every freaking time. Too many people should know better, are doing it for two reasons that are important to them based on where they are in their life. A, for aesthetics and their ego. That's what I want to have this. I want to have that. I want to look good. I want to walk on the beach. I got a wedding dress to put on. Or I want my belt size to go down. It's all about the number on the scale and their appearance. And that's fine. And then everybody else who's young and athletic on a team, they're doing it to be better athletes. For the rest of us, hey man, how do I get bigger? You're 59. Why do you need to get bigger? What if I lift more? I go, well, you better lift less before you lift more because you're going to screw up your shoulder, you're going to screw up your back, you're going to screw up your hips, you're going to screw up your knees. So you better figure out the formula to go from lifting. But you're not playing football. You're not a lacrosse player. You're not playing hockey. You're a dad with three kids and you're going to the office. What do you need big? Are we having an affair with a teenager? What are you doing? You know what I mean? Like, how about you just be strong and flexible and improve your balance and learn to move quicker because older folks don't move quickly very well. So when you release the norepinephrine, dopamine, serotonin, brain drive, neurotrophic factor, every time you do anything physical for more than 10 minutes, bing, the joy, happiness, and laughter, that's it. Like if you don't work out a lot and your life is stressful, which most people's are, you're sad and you're depressed and you're angry and you're just frustrated. But it's not like all those activities in your life are going to change any, but now you have a new perspective. You're more creative. You're more productive. You're more upbeat, more optimistic. Your sex drive improves without blue pills, right? That's the cool. Like exercise does all these other things that don't have anything to do with how you look or how you perform. It's just, there's that. You know what I mean? And then we have the quality of life, longevity piece. You know, and by the way, nobody gets out alive, but you know, you have to decide how the last 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years of your life are going to be. And most people suck. You know what I mean? They're just, they can't do anything. They, like my wife and I got on a couple of bikes in Rome, and for 4.5 hours, we were on the Appian Way. And the Appian Way is something that Caesar built all the way from Rome to the sea. And he murdered a lot of people there, but he built this amazing road. And it was bowling balls the whole way. Like Caesar couldn't find any flat rocks. You know what I mean? And so here we are on the Appian Way with our bikes, but loving it. You know what I mean? This is nuts. Just seeing these, you know, these ancient ruins for miles. We didn't do the whole thing. You know, that would have taken several days. But we'd spent a whole day on the Appian Way. And then in Paris, same thing. We got on our bikes and we're going down the Arc de Triomphe with like thousands of cars. It's just us and cars going in a circle. We're like, oh shit, this is crazy. You know what I mean? Because we could enjoy that. I go to Jackson Hole, put on my skis, up and down and up and down, up and down. Now, if you're not training and you're really inconsistent, then your life gets smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. And that's how you go out. So, you know, it really depends on your perspective and where you're prioritized. And so, you know, if you get past the ego part and the ascent, and look, I don't mind being fit and whatever, you know, whatever in there. That's part of it. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. I don't mind taking my shirt off still at 67. And I'm in the middle of a body fat loss group. There were 35 of us to start, and there are now 6 of us. Because it's hard. But I had 50% body fat, which was still kind of in the fitness thing. Like you got obese, overweight, standard fitness, athlete. I go, why am I not? What? It's got to be, it was right there between athlete. So now I'm down to 11.8, and I'm also thinner. But I don't care about weight anymore. I don't care about weight. I don't care if I'm 180 or 160. I don't care. That's not important. I don't care what my skin and my bones and my tendons and my ligaments and my digestive system and pancreas and liver weigh together. It's stupid. What matters is the visceral fat is what's going to kill you. You got your subcutaneous fat, which is stuff that people can see. It's, you know, the stuff around your butt, around your waist. And that's not great either. But the visceral fat is Parkinson's and cancer and Alzheimer's and type 2 diabetes. And bah, the list just goes on and on and on. So my goal was to get less of that, get that out of my body. So no cookies, no crackers, no chips, no popcorn, no white carbs.
Is that not, you do none of that in general, or is that just during this phase, this fat loss thing?
Last night I went to the Dodgers game at the World Series, and I had a friggin' Dodger dog, which was not on the list. But I turned to my buddy, this is it. This is the last game of the season. It's the World Series. We should just celebrate with a Dodger dog. And as soon as I took the first bite, I thought of 1969. I was like, oh my God, I'm a kid, and it's 1969. But I won't have another one. I had a Snickers bar about a month and a half ago, but I won't have another one for a while. I mean, look, I don't want to be super pious about it. I don't want to be super myopic about it. I just know that 99.7% of the time, it's fruits, vegetables, whole grains, lean proteins, and healthy fats. I don't have cheat days. I don't have cheat meals. I have cheat snacks, and they're far and few between. And I'm 162 pounds. I'm tiny right now. But man, I can climb up a rope, and I can go through that. I can go through that ninja course of mine like never before, you know. So that's what matters to me.
You've been in the fitness industry for a long time.
1,000 years, Jim. At least.
What has changed? What has not changed? You know, it's been 8 years since you and I last spoke, but really since you got into the industry, like, what are the things you're like, well, this hasn't changed, and what are the things that have changed that maybe you agree with, or maybe the ones that you're like, yeah, this is a bunch of baloney. I don't know why people are assuming this is right.
Well, there's a lot of things that I was doing 20 years ago that was an anomaly. It was not, you know, muscle confusion. It was a made up term. Billy Idol used to call me Muscle Confucius because I would come in there with crap every day. What are we doing? Hey, coach, what are we doing today? We're doing something different, more muscle confusion. I go, yeah, we're going to hit the heavy bag today. Oh, we're going to do yoga today. We're going to do Pilates today. It's all about weightlifting today. We're going to do shoulders and arms. We're going to do chest and back. We're going to just work your legs. You know, we're going to make it all cardio. You and I are going to run around the neighborhood. You know, he loved that. He loved it because every day was a mystery, you know, when I would show up. I got away from patterns. You know, I mean, P90X had 12 workouts. The Power of Four has 25. So you're forced to work on your weaknesses. If you believe in that philosophy, if you just want to get big, and lift heavy weights and be big, but don't turn and grab the shampoo at the wrong angle because you'll blow out your spine. You know what I mean? So you just want to be more durable, less vulnerable. So that still is, people are still stuck in these old fashioned weightlifting and cardio things. I think the diet thing has been a mystery for the longest time. I don't expect everybody else to be, you know, 99.7% vegan like me. It just works for me. I have more energy. I have less inflammation. The inflammation piece is one. Like, nobody, people don't realize that the food and activity and stress creates inflammation from the top of your head down to your toenails. So you got to deal with inflammation somehow. Dietarily, wheat, soy, corn, dairy, meat, fish, chicken, gone. They were causing inflammation based on a ton of blood work. So inflammation bad. I used to get Synvisc and PRP in my knees every year, and I haven't needed it in 6 years because I don't eat meat and fish and chicken and corn and wheat and dairy and soy anymore. Why would those things have anything to do with inflammation in my knees? I don't know the science behind it. All I know is I can ski top to bottom without injections in my knees anymore. It just is what it is. That's me. I'm not saying that's for everybody. You have to make a decision about yourself. But if you're, you know, if you're heading to your pharmacy all the time to solve your problems, then you might want to look at what you're doing. And the animal flow piece is newish for a lot of people. The rest and recovery activities that have to be added. LeBron James, you can say what you want about the guy, but he scored more points. He's 42 soon or 41. And he's in the infrared sauna and he's in the cryo chamber and he's getting the body work. And you know, when you beat the body up as you get older, it just takes longer to heal. So you got to do something about it. And I think more and more people are becoming aware of that. And there's a lot of things that I'm seeing a lot now that I'm starting to do in conjunction with the hill sprints is explosive movements. Like, you know, adding speed where you land and then you move to the next thing. You're doing a side lunge and a back lunge and a forward lunge, then sprinting forward, you know, those type, or bounding on one leg up a hill, you know what I mean? Jumping rope, which has been around forever, but just using your jump rope in really kind of fun ways.
Did some jumping rope the other day. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, jumping rope, like that's a simple thing. Oh, it's too hard. Well, no shit. We'll figure it out and spend 6 months figuring it out, because if you believe that it's really important to be able to, you know, crossovers and side to side and all the fun backwards and doubles, you know, it's just going to make you strong and athletic. And it's just, it's kind of fun when you get good at it, you know. And there's probably more.
What kind of supplements? What do you think about, like, creatine?
Every day with the creatine. I'm starting my own supplement line. I can probably tell you, it's sort of a secret. It's called My Power.
Well, you're telling me, but you're also telling everybody who's listening. So if it shouldn't be.
Oh, rats. I'm winking. I want them all to buy it. Yeah, we're almost in pre-sales for our first Morning Greens product, which I'm really excited about. This is all medical grade. Green, important. A little bit of energy, you know, a little bit of fiber and a lot of the stuff to kind of get you going first thing in the morning, help your body giddy up and kind of help part of the recovery process as well. But I was with another company for 5 years and I just didn't like the way they were doing what they were doing. I had to leave. So that's fine, you know, water under the bridge.
But you're coming out with your own Morning Greens.
Morning Greens, and then we're going to, because this is out of my pocket, right? This is like, you know, we're Horton Inc., basically. And it's expensive to start your own supplement line. It's not an easy thing to do. I'll do the insurance and quality control. And our stuff is medical grade, so it's not the stuff that you find at CNC or wherever else. This is the company that makes My Greens and will soon to be My Protein. I'll talk about that in a second. And then a nighttime formula. So we're kind of like, it's a package of these three things that you need to do at three different times in the day. And it's kind of, I've been the guinea pig and I'm loving it. It's part of the reason why I have good energy and I sleep well and I recover well. The supplementation is part of your recovery. If you think food alone, especially processed food and overcooked food and anything with AGEs in it, which is, you know, glycation end products, it's just nasty. The food is just, the quality of food isn't good. So supplements are there. Thus the name supplements. To help you get the nutrients that you need to do what you got to do and to recover from what you've done. And so the protein is big. And everybody's talking protein. And I get that. And I think a lot of people are overdosing on it. You don't need a gram of protein for every pound that you have. I don't take in that much protein. But I do 2 protein shakes a day. And as a vegan, I got to do the seeds and the nuts and the legumes and the beans and every meal. Like my lunch that I just had before we got on the phone, it had every bean in there. You know what I mean? And I'm always throwing back the seeds, the pumpkin seeds, the sesame seeds, and then the edamame and mixed nuts. Kind of that's my go-to on snacks. But supplements are huge, man. It's part of the recovery process. And then again, though, some people don't need them, those lucky genetic people. But for those of us, you know the difference between genetics and epigenetics, right? Genetics, mom and dad, they had sex, they made you. So if you behave like them and they didn't end well in the end, that's you. You're gonna have all their problems and maybe times 10. Who knows? But epigenetics is you deciding to alter your behavior and your environment. So if you change if your parents drank scotch every day and smoked cigarettes, then they probably didn't. They probably ended up with liver cancer or lung cancer or died or whatever. You know, life didn't turn out so well at the end. I mean, maybe they were young and vibrant, but because of the behavior being bad. So here are my genetics. Here's my crappy behavior. Here's my early demise. Same genetics. Epigenetics is you. All right. I'm not going to smoke and I'm not going to drink. I'm going to work out all the time and I'm going to do yoga. And I'm going to do everything Tony says. And I'm going to get a pillow that's not 15 years old finally. And I'm going to start getting bamboo sheets and I'm going to do breath work. I don't know what breath work is, but I'm going to read that book, A Breath by James Nestor. And I'm going to start wearing mouth tape and nose breath. And then I'm going to be like Jim, where I got a whole Halloween mask on. And I could have. You know what I mean? Like you start doing stuff that your parents never even knew existed. Jack Elaine's a perfect example, the godfather of fitness. Father died at 50 something from just whatever. Like, okay, well, my father died at that age. So then maybe I will. No, he died at 96 and he probably would still be alive if the hospital didn't kill him. But that's what his wife says. So that's where I am. Like who I am at 67 isn't even close to anything that my parents were at 60. My parents at 67 were grandparents at that point. Yeah. I mean, I could be too if I had kids that had kids, but I don't. That's just my choice. So I mean, like the supplements are key and the mindfulness is key and the regular exercise is key and the variety is key. And for a lot of people, it's like, it's too much. For example, Power of Four and almost every program on Power Nation, we put stop options in. My little invention, it's trademarked. Don't try to rip it off because it's genius. 45-minute workout, plyo, martial arts. So the stop options are like 15 minutes in, 25 minutes in. And, you know, sometimes they have one if the workout's short. Sometimes they have two if they're medium-sized length. And sometimes they have three if the workout's close to an hour. If the workout gets to 50, there's a big sign at the bottom, stop option. And I'll go, hey, everybody, here's your first stop option. You have decisions to make. Do you want to keep going? Do you feel pretty good? Do you got the time? Do you got the energy? Great. If you don't, you got places to go and people to meet, and you're feeling a little verklempt, stop now. But I'd like you to fast forward to the cool down and we'll see you next time. And so people are like, oh God. So I've put mini workouts in the middle of a big, long workout. And more people are showing up and being consistent that way. So
yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. You can do the shorter workout and not feel guilty about it and feel like you got the thing done. Yeah.
Yeah. You got something in. And I've done that on my own. I mean, if I have a 24 set chest and back routine and I have limited time, I'll do 16 or 18 or maybe 20 sets and just, you know, and skedaddle. Last night, my plyo routine, I did it with my wife before I went to the Dodger game where they lost 5-6-1. Bummer. You know, it's an hour five, hour and 10. It's a monster. There's 20 moves and there's, you know, anywhere from 30 to 100 reps. And you need big recovery time in between each one because you're huffing and puffing. Sean and I got it in 48 minutes, man. You just figure it out. You know, it's just being curious and being, you know, knowing, here's what I say. Who are you with it and who would you be without it? So I know who I am with it. And I have to be that guy because, you know, I do fitness for a living. And without it, I'm just kind of cranky and sad.
Tony, you're a wealth of knowledge and a living example of somebody who's actually doing what we should be doing, right? If we want to,
if you want to be happy, you want to be strong, you want to be flexible, you want to have a good life at the end. Yeah, that's what you do.
This should be, you know, a central organizing theme of our lives. You've given us so much here to chew on, to think about. And now we get to go to Power Fitness, PowerNationFitness.org. You can learn about Power of Four, PowerSync 60, and your other programs in there. There's so much. So there's a 2-week trial, you said?
2 weeks free. I mean, we you got to give us your credit card. People go, oh, a credit card, that's not free. Well, we don't charge it. And then as soon as you're out, it goes away, you know? So yeah, I mean, just get in there and get curious. And it's funny because this has been a 5-year thing for us, evolution. And now it's funny because right now people are getting it. The word of mouth is working. People are getting great results. And there's a lot of things in it, and I've covered a lot of it here, that didn't exist when I was with Beachbody. I just didn't know about those things. And I brought in my own coaches and my own trainers, people that I really like and respect, that have a little twinkle in their eye and have a different kind of point of view. You know, we've got just great people, great content. And yeah, so come on, check it out.
Where else can people find you, follow you, buy your books, etc.?
Tony_Horton at Twitter. at Tony S. Horton on Instagram, TonyHortonLife.com. So I have a 13th annual snowboard ski yoga retreat in Jackson Hole this February. And so, yeah, you'll see all the information there about that retreat. And they're just fun. We do yoga in the morning. We do kind of a post-yoga routine afterward. We've split everybody up into beginners, intermediates, and advanced. And then I join all three groups throughout the day. And so does my buddy Ted McDonald. And it's just amazing. And so, yeah, and I did an event in Vegas. So that was in there. That's come and gone. But yeah, if you want to know what I'm up to, and I'm writing another book. I've already finished my fourth book. I'm excited about that. And now we're working on a workout program that would go with the book, which I'm excited about. We're kind of, you know, we're thinking about where we want to shoot it, who we want to produce it. We're still in that early stage. But I think this next program will be P90X for people over 50. It won't be, you know, it won't be P90X because people over 50 are going to go, the hell with that. I ain't doing that. But just coming up with, and we've got some cool celebrity types that are going to be in it that have said they want to be in it. So that'll be fun to have TV and movie stars and professional athletes behind me.
Yeah. Super cool. Tony, thank you for dropping so much wisdom on us today. Now it's on us to take action. Appreciate you. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Good to see you, bud.
Good to see you.